This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And it's a good day to die. Thank you, Master. Jesus said he's increasing his presence in here. Hallelujah. Would you turn to the book of Romans with me? Glory to God. The book of Romans. Are we on, David? Praise be to God. The book of Romans, in Romans chapter 8. I have a simple, quick message. Something that's, you know, how many of y'all know that the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge? Amen? Right now, because of what's going on in the kingdom of God and what's happening in the world, you know, people are so bound by drugs and alcohol and poverty and all kinds of stuff. It's just ridiculous. And what happens is the enemy tries to prevent them from getting in God's presence because that's where the blessings are. That's why God has churches. This is a building, but the building does not become the house of God until the people of God come in the building. Amen? Then it becomes the house of God. It's a place where there's storehouses. It's a place where there's help. Because the world can't help you. Amen? People try to get caught up in the world's help, and they get caught up in welfare, and they never go any further. The world has a welfare mentality, and it's designated by the government. And who's behind the government is the Antichrist. Hello. So right now, God is doing a tremendous move, not only in our lives here, but in the body of Christ and globally. I mean globally, everywhere. Time is running out. And if you're here today, it's because God has brought you here. I want to welcome everyone that's here today. If you're new, we're really not crazy. We love the Lord, we have a relationship, and we're free. Amen. And the most important thing is to be free from torment. Has everybody got it? Free from torment. Say, I'm free, from torment. Because see, that's what the enemy does. That's his purpose. His purpose in life is to torment us. Holy Spirit was quickening me yesterday. As, you know, there was something I wanted to talk on, and he said, no. I didn't argue with him, like my Palmer. Doesn't have electric start yet, but we'll get one. Praise God. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 1, would you read it with me? There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, this is very powerful, because he said that there's no condemnation to those who are in the Spirit, but there is condemnation to those who are in the flesh. So in other words, the enemy, the devil, has access to you, and he has a right to hinder you and torment you, beat you up, and use you as a welcome mat for his kingdom if you're walking in the flesh. You know, the majority of the people do not know about walking in the Spirit. Even believers. This book right here, the book that was written to the Romans, was written to believers. It wasn't written to those who don't believe. It was written to those who believe. Now, we know that the word believe means to what? Follow. So if you claim to be a believer, but you're not following, you're a liar. And God wants to change that. And that's why when people don't follow, hello, then that means they're walking in the flesh and they are tormented. Because anyone in the flesh gets tormented. Does everybody understand that? There is torment in the flesh. How many times have you found yourself begin to walk in the flesh and man, torment all of a sudden hits you? It's like, man, that torment comes. In verse 2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now look at this. He says, the law of the Spirit of life. So there is a law of the Spirit of life. Amen? You know, hold your finger there and turn to the book of Acts in chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, in verse 4, I believe. Let's see here. Oh, no. Verse 1 and 1 and 2. And read it with me. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. So he was taken up, right? After he, through the what? Holy Spirit had given what? Commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Those commandments were the law of the Spirit of life. Does everybody understand that? To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he hung out for 40 days and he began to appear to people and his apostles and disciples and declare to them and expressing them the law of the Spirit of life, the commandments that he was giving him. Giving them. Does everybody understand that? And they are continued through the Holy Spirit now. Amen? Because we're accountable for more than just the law. We're accountable to the relationship. So he says here in verse 2 in chapter 8 in Romans, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Because we know that the wages of sin is death. Now, I really believe this is twofold also. Because it's a representation of Jesus' coming. Jesus came the first time to remove sin. Has everybody got it? He's coming the second time to remove death. Has everybody got it? So it's twofold. But we know the things in the Word are always pertaining to past, present, and future. Because it says that Jesus Christ was crucified before the foundations of the world. Amen? See, but we're bound by space and time, but he's not. And we've got to learn to walk in the Spirit, because when you walk in the Spirit, you're not bound by space and time. Has everybody got it? See, because if you're walking in the Spirit, you don't have to worry about catching up things. God will catch it right up. If you're in the Spirit, you don't have to worry about things that are coming up future, because God's already got it completed. That's all you have to do is walk it out. See, you and I are complete in him. That's all we have to do is walk it out. But we have this tendency that we need to help God. We have this tendency to become God. Hello. See, when you walk in the flesh, you become your God. Has everybody got it? Then, of course, we know that struggle comes, doesn't it? Oh, and all kind of other things. We'll talk a little bit more about this. And verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Now he's talking about the commandments that were given in the Old Testament. See, those commandments were given, in true reality, God knew they couldn't obey them. But they were given to expose them. In other words, listen, these commandments were given to let you know that you're unrighteous. Does everybody understand that? But he knew that they couldn't walk them. That's why there was animal sacrifices. So he wanted them to know that they were unrighteous. Because prior to that, everything was just go for it. Amen. Of course, Satan's doctrine is do what you feel like. If you feel like doing it, then you do it. That's what the world goes under, isn't it? Oh, this is what I feel like doing today. No, it's not how we live in Christ anymore, is it? For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. So listen, if you walk in the flesh, hello, you're condemned, isn't it? See, here's the whole thing. Back to verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So condemnation, or known as a self-condemning spirit, is a demon. Has everybody got it? He's a self-condemning spirit. As you walk in the flesh, he has full right and access to condemn you and torment you. Has everybody got it? It's his right. It's a self-condemning spirit. In verse 4, would you read it with me? That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled where? In us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So when you walk in the Spirit, you fulfill the law. Does everybody got it? When you're walking in the Spirit, you are fulfilling the law already, and the devil has no access to you. But if you do not walk in the Spirit and you're walking in the flesh, the devil has access to you. Why? Because the law is not fulfilled. And the Bible says if you break the least of these laws, you've broken them all. See, you and I, the only way that we could, the Bible also tells us that the sway of the wicked one is in the world. The world is under the sway of the wicked one, isn't it? The ruler of the earth is Satan. So there are things that you're going to do that bring condemnation. It's a self-condemning spirit. When? When you are in the flesh. Oh, hallelujah. It says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. So we know that there's a requirement. What's a requirement? To overcome, isn't it? There's a requirement that you and I must overcome the law of sin by walking in the Spirit. And by walking in the Spirit, it brings us under the law of the Spirit of life. Everyone say, walking in the Spirit brings me under the law of the Spirit of life. By walking in the flesh, it brings me under the law of sin and death. Has everybody got it? See, what God is doing right now, he's drawing people from everywhere. Drawing them. All kinds of people are coming out of the woods. People are coming out of tree houses. People are falling from the ground, from the air. He's calling his people from everywhere to come and learn to walk in the Spirit. What does he say? He says, cast your burdens upon me, doesn't he? He said, those who are heavy laden and burdened, come and what? Learn from me. Why did he say that? So they can be released from their torment. Torment. You know, the worst thing that an individual can be is tormented. To know the truth and not be able to walk it. You know what the devil does? He abuses people. There are children who are being abused sexually, physically, verbally, morally. What does he do? That causes torment, does it? His whole purpose in life of the powers of darkness is to torment individuals. That's what he does. And it's also associated with fear. Isn't fear torment? Amen. So there's a requirement that you and I must do, and that's to overcome the law of sin and death by walking in the Spirit, which brings us under the law of the sin, law of the Spirit of life, or puts us under his control. Say, I want to be under the control of the Holy Spirit, where there is freedom from condemnation, or the self-condemning spirit. Amen. Has everybody got that? See, by walking in the Spirit, You are shutting the door. The Bible says make no provision or make any area in your life to have an open door of the devil. Any open door of the devil, there will be torment. Too many people take this torment and play with it. They take it. You know, some of them are content with it. They just feel, well, this is how I'm going to have to live the rest of my life. And the devil convinces them that they can't do anymore. Now, I'm not talking about, condemnation is also a representation of judgment. But I'm not talking about the judgment of God, but about the self-condemning spirit. Some of its fruits are oppression. Oppression in the self-condemning spirit, low self-esteem, unworthiness. He tells you, you can never do anything right. Hello? Woe is me. Tremendous guilt. A sense of not able or ability to feel accepted. I'm not accepted. Has everybody got it? I'm not accepted. That's one of the first things he begins to hit you with. You're not accepted. He begins to torment you in this area. Oh, you made the mistake. How's Jesus going to forgive you? Why aren't you perfect? The Bible says that you can do all things through Christ. He loves to quote you the scripture too. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Why? Why has God left you? Why? He always brings the reasonings in. And I'm telling you, he condemns individuals so badly that they begin to separate themselves from the body of Christ, and then they get tormented. Some of them end up in suicide. It's called a self-condemning spirit. Gives you a sense of non-acceptance. It brings heaviness or sadness. Many people are unhappy. They can't seem to move forward. It brings confusion. They lose focus and they wander. They have thoughts of despair, again, of suicide. Seems like no way of escape. They give up. They accept failure. Does everybody understand that? In fact, they look for failure. If they don't fail, they feel like they're not accomplishing what their life is about. This is a self-condemning spirit. Praise God. So they accept that failure is a part of their life. They have no power to choose. They begin to dislike themselves. Always comparing themselves with others and with others' accomplishments. See, the devil always has you look at other things, others' accomplishments. And also, he condemns us because we're not fulfilling what others are doing. Oh, why don't you do this? Oh, why don't you? Oh, see, he always brings you to you. Does everybody understand that? And then he beats you up. They believe that nobody understands them, or they need to be understood. Carries to the rejection attitude. Does everybody understand that? An individual always complaining and crying out, nobody understands me. That's a condemning spirit. Nobody understands me. Nobody understands me. Nobody will hear me. That's a condemning spirit. Amen? It's a self-condemning spirit. Go to Revelation chapter 12. But I'm telling you, this demon's going to be exposed today. And when that thing comes up and starts talking to you, you're going to give him a Holy Ghost backhand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Revelation chapter 12. Bless you, Master. Bless you. In verse 10. Would you read it with me? Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Now check this out. The accuser, that's what the enemy does to me and you. That's that self-condemning spirit. He loves to accuse. You. Let me tell you what, if you pick this spirit up, you begin to act like him. You begin to accuse. Does everybody understand that? You begin to accuse. You begin to accuse people and have an assumption, a false image on people before anything is truly sought out. Does everybody understand that? Before it's really searched out or sought out, that devil begins to cause you to begin to condemn and accuse others with a false image before it's truly sought out. And he loves to put your mouth in that position. See, because if he can put your mouth in that position, he has more access to you. Why? Because what you sow is what you what? It's what you reap. Now, how did they overcome? In verse 11. And they overcame him by the what? Blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. That's very powerful. So they overcame him, the accuser, the self-condemning spirit, by the blood of Jesus, right? A personal testimony and a life of self-denial. Listen, just because he didn't catch you today doesn't mean he won't catch you tomorrow. So this is a continuous walk, isn't it? Go to Romans 8 again, verse 31. I'll tell you, Romans 8 is such a powerful, powerful chapter. Powerful. One of these days we're going to do just a study on Romans 8. So powerful. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, what? Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us what? All things. Freely give us all things. The first thing we need is freedom from torment. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So he's praying for me and you. Praise God. If my dad's praying for us, we got it. The whole thing is we need to do is get in position and walk it out and be obedient. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are what? More than conquerors through Christ, through him who what? Loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, God's love towards me and you shall never cease. The problem is, we get into a position where we can't receive it. Amen? And that's where the devil wants to bring us. He wants to move us out of position to where we can't receive the love of God. One of the things, again, I want to emphasize on is an area where an individual does not feel accepted. He doesn't have that impartation, or it's been stolen from him, or that corruptible seed that's been imparted in him, doesn't feel accepted. Doesn't sense that acceptance when God has already accepted them. Turn to Ephesians. That's that condemning spirit. Ephesians chapter 1. See, because if he can get you and deceive you that you're feeling unaccepted, it causes an individual to drift and be snatched. Oh, hallelujah. But I got news for you. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Everybody say, blessed me. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Say, he chose me in him before the foundation of the world. Do you know that you were chosen before the world was created? You were chosen already before the world was created. No, come on, get out of here, man. Really? Yeah, but the world wasn't created. How could I be chosen beforehand? Because he's God and you're not. Yes, you were chosen. A name was already established for you. Really, I was born with a name called Gaetano. It wasn't easy in my school days. Then they called me Tonto. We made it simple, guy. Hallelujah. They came up with some Italian names that were wild, let me tell you. Praise God. But you and I were chosen before the foundations of the world. Yes. This is not one of these believe it or not circumstances. It's believe it. Accept it. It's done, completed. Hallelujah. Now let's see what else he offers. It says in verse 4, just as he chose us in himself before the foundations of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. So the only way to be holy and without blame in love is to be in the Spirit. Having what? Predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us what? Say, he made me. He made me. I'm telling you, he made me. Accepted in his beloved. I'm accepted. I don't care what the devil says. The world might not accept me, but my daddy accepts me. Hallelujah. In verse 7 it says that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Say, I'm forgiven. According to the riches of his grace, which he made to what? Abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Oh, so you even have wisdom, endurance. You got it. Now you just got to step in it. It's like somebody who has a pool and never uses it. Having made known to us the mystery of his will. Do you know the mystery of his will? Yes, you do. What's his will? To walk in the Spirit. See, when you walk in the Spirit, his will is being fulfilled. That's where you walk in a circumstance where you don't have to know. You just have to trust. See, if you're an individual that has to know everything, I got to understand this. I got to know this. Then you don't trust. See, in the arena of walking in the Spirit, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't stinking matter. I'm telling you, people who got to find out what's this, what's understand every little thing, and want everyone to understand them, they're being tormented by that self-condemning spirit because they have to walk in perfection. I've got to know what God's will is. Man, pray in the Spirit and just walk. It's God's will. Believe me, he'll establish. Your life will interpret what you're praying. You don't have to figure it out, and you cannot walk with God on a need-to-know basis. He'll let you know when what's need. Hallelujah. In verse 10, verse 9 again. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. 1 John chapter 4. Glory to God. I'm accepted. Come on, everybody, tell them I'm accepted. That little vermin's going to be exposed. First John chapter 4. Two quick verses. 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have what? Boldness in the day of judgment. That's pretty wild, boldness in the day of judgment. It says love's been perfected in you when you got boldness in the day of judgment. See, now when the devil's judging you every day and condemning you, you better have boldness. When he comes up to you and says, you know what you didn't do? Do you know the mistake you made 14 years ago? You know, you should have listened to what I told you. How many times the devil tells you to do something? Then he could look at how many times he told us to go drink and use and everything else and say something to someone and you realize later it wasn't God. Oh, man. Then it, oh, yeah. See, what he does is he convinces you to go do it and then he condemns you for doing it. That's how he works. He's the promoter of rebellion towards God. He's the promoter of rebellion towards the will of God. He spends a great amount of time promoting rebellion. Amen. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves what? But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us, so we understand that torment is also involved with what? Fear. We've been talking about fear a lot, and fear is Satan's power. I'm telling you, that's how he rules the world, in fear. You know how many people are so afraid about terrorists? It's phenomenal. You know how many people are fear of dying? Fear brings torment. And that self-condemning spirit will slap the seal of fear on you or flip your head around. You'll be so condemned, you won't know which way to go. Fear will grip you where you can't move. If he can get you in a position to where you can't move or yield to the Spirit of God, he's accomplished his purpose. Fear and condemning. Oh, hallelujah. Imparts fear and torment. That's the purpose of the Antichrist. He's called a condemning spirit, isn't he? Amen. Go to 1 Samuel 16. I truly believe that Samuel picked up this spirit. I mean, not Samuel. Saul, sorry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why are we getting this? Because this is another demon that needs to be exposed. First Samuel 16. Hallelujah. Praise God. In verse 14. And we know that Saul was the king of Israel. And his disobedience opened the door to demonic activity. God finally had enough. In verse 14. And the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. I believe that distressing spirit was a self-condemning spirit. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit or a demon from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp, and it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be what? Well, so we know one of the things that we need to do is get in God's presence, right? Let me share with you, how many of y'all have been, I mean, you've been heavy, tormented, all of a sudden you get in God's presence, and that freedom comes. Your mind is shooting every single way. You're trying to figure out why you're feeling the way you're feeling. If you're trying to figure out the way why you're feeling the way you're feeling, it's because there's a demon hindering you. He's usually called a distressing spirit or self-condemning spirit or an accuser. It doesn't matter. Amen? But once you get in God's presence, it's important. Something begins to happen. You begin to focus or refocus yourself in worshiping the Lord. You begin to seek his face, and something begins to happen to you. Amen? Even these guys knew it. His servants knew it. They said, listen, get somebody who's a skillful player. In verse 23, it says, and so it was, whenever the spirit from God or the distressing self-condemning spirit came upon Saul, that David would take the harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would become refreshed, well, and that distressing spirit would depart from him. You know, some of us were carrying that spirit in here today. And as he began to worship and praise God, he left. Now, if you didn't, he probably went to you. So if you didn't praise and worship God, you're probably carrying everybody's distressing spirit. I got to go somewhere, don't they? Believe me, they're no respecter of person. If there's an open door there, they don't even knock. They just go on in. Hallelujah. I truly believe that this distressing spirit is associated with the self-condemning spirit. It's also associated with the spirit of heaviness. You know, the Bible says if the spirit of heaviness comes on, you put on the what? Garment of praise. Garment of praise, man. If you're being tormented, you'd be driving down the road or whatever, and you're still, confusion comes and torment comes. You don't know what to do with this, that, whatever. Man, just flick on the radio. Not the secular. It'll put you in worse shape. Talk about, put someone on a fire, baby. Go outside and fix my flat tire. You know what I'm saying? Talk about a distressing spirit. Whew. Spirit of heaviness. Then you got the other music where it invites every demon from hell in you. Well, we want to do this. We got it in sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So make sure you turn on the right station. I'm not talking about contemporary Christian music. I'm talking about the music that brings you into the Holy of Holies. How many more times you need to hear the message? You got the message. Now you got to get the presence. Hello? Everybody's doing hip-hop, reggae, and whoever else, rap. That does not bring you in the presence of God. But it keeps me baloney. It keeps you in the outer court. That's what it does. But it's Christian. Did you ever hear of the spirit of Antichrist? Didn't the Bible tell you that there'd be false prophets and things in the final days? Hello? But it's Christian. Oh, really? Is it really Christian? Does it really bring you in the presence of God? Do you change when you listen to that music? For the good? When you get done listening to that music, you have peace, joy, and righteousness, and all that confusion is gone, and you just want to love someone and tell them about Jesus? Or do you feel like telling somebody how you feel? Or are you justifying your wrongs? Or is that self-condemning spirit beating you up so badly that he's driving a car and you're in the back seat? Hello. Glory to God. That spirit of heaviness comes upon you, you put on the garment of praise. Without the anointing, you're nothing. God's presence, I don't care how much words you can quote, you can bind that thing, blind it, and mute it. But without the presence of God, he's going to sit there and laugh at you. Everybody got it? Oh, praise God. You know how many people have lost loved ones? They've lost loved ones, and that spirit of heaviness comes upon them. And they're still mourning from 14 years later. And that condemning spirit is saying, you could have done something. How many times have you seen something and you knew that, and that spirit starts hitting you? You could have done something. Or somebody approaches you and says, don't you think you could have done something? Hopefully they weren't right. No, it's nothing but a condemning spirit. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. What go to Psalm 69. Oh, hallelujah. What also happens with this condemning spirit? He begins to impart false imagery to where No matter what somebody does, it sends, in other words, you can be around a group of people and that fear and that torment is there and that self-condemning spirit is there that you believe somebody's talking about you. Does everybody got it? I mean, he's got you convinced that somebody's talking about you and he's condemning you. Bam, bam, bam. You know what they're saying about you? Bam, bam. And then what he does is he goes and gets somebody and makes them act out like they're talking about you, but they really weren't. Hello? You got to remember, even that's what, you know why people go to psychics? To find out what the future is. But you know the demons can assist those areas in your future to make it like, oh, it was God. They were right. Such and such happened. You know, they know how to manipulate certain things to make it, you know, isn't sickness a demon? It's a curse. Well, so what did they do? People go see psychics and stuff like that. The demons agree. They remove the presence and it makes a person look like he gets healed. Then it loads up the psychic house. The problem is the other four of them get demon-possessed and one guy walks away free. But it ain't over. He'll get it again down the road. And he'll get it before he goes before God too, won't he? See, we got to really understand how the demonic forces really operate. They pretend to love you. But they hate you. In Psalm 69 and verse 16, would you read it with me? Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in what? Trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my what? Enemies. You know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. What's he getting hindered by? Self-condemning spirit, isn't he? I looked for someone to take pity. Hello. Oh, somebody must understand what I'm going through. Please, will you listen to me? I look for someone to take pity. Pity? Go pray. But there was none. Not even my husband. Not even my wife. Not even my pastor. And for comforters. But I found none. I found nobody to find pity with me. Come on, I wanted them to both jump in the same cup. Oh, no one could comfort me. They also gave me gall for my food. Now this is prophetic, isn't it? And for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. That was prophetic, wasn't it? It was prophetic of Jesus being condemned. See, he was condemned so you and I didn't have to be. Now listen, what was he condemned by? The rulers of the law. Does everybody get it? He was condemned by the rulers of the law, wasn't he? See, Satan's kingdom operates under law. Not under freedom. And what he wants to do is put you under law so he can condemn you. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Galatians 5 while we're here. See, if he can put you under the law, then he can put a leash around your neck. He takes you captive. And he causes people to accuse and condemn others without investigating. Galatians chapter 5. Is everybody getting this today? Amen. That devil's going to get exposed. I'm not taking no more of his garbage. Self-condemning spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 6. Is everybody there? Galatians. Hallelujah. Galatians. Would you read it with me? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Hello, what's liberty mean? Freedom. By which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with what? The yoke of bondage. I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Now he's talking about the Jews that were under the law, weren't they? So he's saying, man, your works. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. Oh, hallelujah. Well, while we're there, you might as well go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Glory to God. And verse 25. You know, when I was very young in the Lord, a couple years ago, hallelujah, I'm still young in the Lord. We're all young in the Lord, right? Praise God. I was involved in a morning prayer group, and everybody went to the special meeting. They were teaching about the book of Revelation. And I said, whoa, this is cool. Let's go. So we all went there, and God has a tendency to do some strange things with me. He has a tendency to leave me in a place all by myself and makes me go through some strange things so that I don't understand it at first. And then later he'll give me the understanding. Anyways, everybody in our morning prayer group ended up leaving the place because they knew it was incorrect doctrine. And the Lord said, you're not going. I thought, why can't I go? And he made me stay there. And it was a group of individuals. It's a well-known association in the organization of religiosity. And they were teaching them about the book of Revelation, and they kept emphasizing that if you did not celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday, you were going to hell. And every time I raised my hand, the guy wouldn't answer me. I tried everything. I finally had my own meetings after the class. And what was happening is that self-condemning spirit was preaching right there. I didn't realize this till later. It grabbed hold of me so intently that in the beginning, now this had happened years before, in the beginning I thought, man, we need to celebrate. Why aren't we doing services on Saturday? You know, but I mean, I was involved in another church and so forth. To where I got chastened by the Lord. He said to me, you're coming under the law. So then when God prepared me to go to these teachings in the book of Revelation, I was ready. But I wanted to get out of there so bad. And they were talking about some stuff that was totally off the wall, but they were drawing in people because the world is looking for understanding about what's going to happen, right? Well, they weren't telling them what's going to happen. They actually believed some of the stuff had already happened, majority of it. They believed some of it, it's already been done with. So you got to celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday or you're going to hell. Well, look at Catholicism. Some of Catholicism, I've had people call me and said, if you don't worship Mary, you're going to hell. Brother, you're in hell already. What do you mean? And so afterwards, and we were fellowshipping with some other people, and I happened to go to their house. I was invited to their house. And next thing I know, they were coming against the pastor of the church because they were not celebrating the Sabbath on Saturday. And I thought, whoa, because God finally released me from this place. Whew. And I thought, no wonder why you had me go through this and learn and understand what organization this was. They were putting people back into bondage and under that condemning spirit that if you didn't celebrate the Sabbath on a Saturday, you were condemned. Isn't that phenomenal? So it was a good teaching. Like I said, sometimes God has us do strange things. I know He does strange things with me. And I had to sit through this thing. And when He finally let me go, I was a happy individual. But in the meantime, it was good training. Amen? Hallelujah. Did we do Psalm 119 yet? Okay, verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from what? Heaviness. Remember, he says, my soul clings to the dust. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the what? Way of lying. And grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, and you shall what? Enlarge my heart. So we see here now he adds the word. See, so what's going to bring you onto this? Of course, the word is truth, isn't it? Amen? So we've got to come into that arena where we begin to just start praising and worshiping the Lord and come out from that arena of that condemnation. Galatians chapter 2. Hallelujah! A couple more scriptures. And we'll get to die a little more. Galatians chapter 2. Glory. Praise be to God. In verse 11, would you read it with me? Now, Paul and Peter are having a problem here. Paul was upset with Peter because he was putting people under bondage in the law. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face. This is Paul. Because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, and he went to eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with his hypocrisy. He called them hypocrites. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? You know, I wondered that same thing. I remember when I first got saved, everybody wanted to be a Jew. So why does everybody want to be a Jew? I couldn't understand it. They would go to every Jewish thing and whatever and celebrate Jewish heritage. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against Jews. They're my brothers. Amen? And my sisters. I didn't understand why. Now, the Bible says that we are grafted in. But we are grafted into Christ. Even Jews become Christ-like. They don't become Gentiles. Hello? And Gentiles become Christ-like, not Jews. So I couldn't understand it. Why people were beginning to fall into the bondage of Sabbath, Jewish traditions, and everything else. I mean, it just seemed to, somebody goes to Israel and they come back and bring everything with them. Every bit of bondage that's over there. Truly, I couldn't understand it. Everybody was like, I mean, not that those traditions and so forth. There are things that are grafted in us and part of us when you and I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? But I am not a Jew. I am a Christ. Amen? I'm an offspring of the Anointed One. That's who I am. And the Jews who become Christ-like are offsprings of the Anointed One. Amen? Now, there are special tradition and heritage that we can learn from the Jews, isn't it? Because of the feasts and everything else that they celebrated, because God granted the Jews and Israel to be His chosen people. But it doesn't mean that we are Jews. I'm His son. So anyways, I always wondered this too. In verse 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be what? No flesh shall be what? Justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Now, you got to remember that Paul was Saul, and he was a Pharisee, wasn't he? And he was a ruler of the law. What was he trying to do? Bring the believers in bondage, wasn't he? For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes to the law, then Christ died in vain. Whew. Amen? See, that self-condemning spirit will put you under the law. He tries to put you in such perfectionism that we become stiff-necked. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. Well, yeah, okay, you better go there. Oh, hallelujah. You know, people begin to try to fulfill the law so much that they lose their relationship with the Lord. I've seen it happen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Is everybody there? In verse 4. Is everybody all right? And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the... For the letter what? Now you know why. The letter kills and the spirit gives what? Life, because now you are under the law of the spirit of life and not under the law of sin and death. So if you walk in the spirit, you are under the law of what? The spirit of life. If you walk in the flesh, you are under the law of sin and death. Oh, hallelujah, because the letter kills. In other words, the letter condemns. Philippians 3. Oh, praise God. Is everybody all right? Philippians 3. Praise you, Lord. Read this with me, starting at verse 1. Is everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, we're going to have that self-condemning spirit's exposed today. Amen. And we're going to go back into praise and worship the Lord. And that little varmint's going to leave. Finally, my brethren, come on, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but it is for your sake. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Oh, hallelujah. And have no confidence in the what? Flesh. You know, I can't emphasize enough on how much the devil keeps people out of God's presence. Whew. I mean, truly. You know, one of the things that David was saying, I am glad to go into the house of God. You know why? He knew the presence of God was there. The devil will do everything to prevent you from getting in God's presence, and then he condemns you. And you know what? If you disobey, then he has a right. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Well, my trust is in my job. My trust is in my strength, my talent, my spouse, my friends. Hello? My trust is in the government. My trust is in the world. See, if there's hope in anything else but Christ Jesus, it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. If your hope is in your spouse, it's wrong. Because if you are truly not married to the King of Glory, nothing will work. Amen? Truly, nothing will work. Our hope must be totally in Him. In verse 4. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. For the what? Anointing. That's God's presence. So many people don't understand that. They think, yes, I've counted loss now that I've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about that you're willing to count everything dung for the presence of God. For the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, that I may gain what? The anointing. That I may gain the presence of God. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his what? Being conformed to his what? Being conformed to his what? Remember we talked about united in his death? If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. One of the things that the condemning spirit does is he causes you to fall in the arena of unforgiveness. Because he tells you, he convinces you, that you can't ask for forgiveness either. Does everybody understand that? He condemns you so bad that he makes you think that because nobody's going to listen or whatever, there's no sense of asking for forgiveness. It's over with. Hello. Go to Romans 4. Then we have one scripture. Romans 4. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4, self-condemning spirit. You know, we do that song called Understanding. I know he understands it all. I know he understands it all. So it's like, get up. Come on, now get up because he understands it all. And you don't have to. Get up. In Romans 4, starting at verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham or our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as what? But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for what? Righteousness. In other words, he's not doing it by works, is he? Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are what? Covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for the righteous. How then was it counted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them all. And I want to close with 2 Corinthians 10. Glory. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? You know, so many times I see this spirit. I can almost see believers on their hands and knees walking like dogs. And this spirit has got a leash around their neck under the law. And those people are not free. Under the law, condemnation, guilt, pressure. All of these things. And that condemning spirit just walks around. In verse 3. Would you read it? What did I say? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3, yeah. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down what? Strongholds. Stronghold is a memory lie. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into what? So is that our responsibility? Amen. You better check those thoughts. You better check those impressions. If you don't have the discernment, that the reason is because the presence of God is not enough in your life. If you're dull of seeing and dull of hearing, if you're dull of receiving, that means the presence of God is not enough in your life. You need more of the presence of God to bring clarity. Well, I get in God's presence every day. I read my Bible. That's not getting in God's presence. You get in God's presence, then read your Bible. Hello? That's why we worship first. There's a time to read. There's a time to worship. You must get in His presence to be able to receive the things. I do not bring my Bible with me when I go to the Lord. It's me and Him. I go to the Lord with me and Him. Does everybody understand that? My prayer is not with my Bible because I'm talking to the living Word. Does everybody got it? Then afterwards, if He tells me somewhere I need to go, when I come out of His presence, and He guides me by His Spirit, then He teaches me His Word. But it's first me and Him. Nothing else comes in there with me but me and Him. Does everybody understand? Oh, hallelujah. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to what? Punish all disobedience when you're what? So you can't punish it unless your obedience is fulfilled, is it? That's why the devil goes around tormenting God's people. That's why he goes around not only tormenting and accusing them, putting them in the bondages. And you know what he does? Let me share something very important. He begins to manifest and command his own laws in an individual's life. Brings them into bondage. If I do this, if I do that. That's why the Bible warned us about, you know, about the things that where people are going to eat and so forth and bringing them into bondage. Yes, there's things right that we should eat, isn't there? Amen. Things offered to idols and so forth. I'm telling you, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And it doesn't mean freedom to sin. It means freedom to obey. It means freedom from torment. It means freedom from guilt. It means freedom from addiction. It means freedom from pain and hurt. Freedom. Amen? We want that freedom. Now, Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We repent right now for associating with this self-condemning spirit. We repent, Lord. We repent for touching and agreeing with this self-condemning spirit. We repent, Lord, for any association with any of these cohorts. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, every corruptible seed that's been imparted by these self-condemning spirits, we curse and command to wither and die right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we welcome your Holy Spirit to take hold, to take full possession of these vessels as we commit them to you, Lord. Lord, we are nothing without you. Now I take authority and I command every one of these self-condemning spirits to loose the people of God in this house, to leave this building and not return and go back to the pit where you came from. Breaking and loosing from things of the past of guilt, wrong decisions. Lord, I'm asking from this day forth that you would quicken your people to where they cast their cares upon you because you care for them. That they don't try to work out their own stuff, but they yield to you, who is the worker-outer of everything. Lord, you make a way where there seems to be no way. And Lord, return the joy of our salvation to your people today. The joy of knowing you, of what you've done for us. Lord, return the attitude of gratitude. Return, Lord, your presence. Oh, your presence. And we repent for quenching the Holy Spirit in any way. We repent. And we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that from this day forward, you will grant us the discernment and quickening every time that spirit comes near us, that we'll take dominion over him. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen.